Okay, so I feel like we've seen a lot of YouTube videos on this topic, but as helpful as they can be, sometimes I feel like they aren't very specific. So I really like that we have this very down to the nitty-gritty detail type of video about entering high school and what the expectations are versus a lot of the reality is.
Yeah, and as rising seniors, we do have a lot of experiences from all those different years. So we want to be able to give as much advice as we can to incoming high schoolers from grade 8, or even just older high schoolers, I guess, who want to learn more before their senior year.
Yeah, I feel like we have so much advice to bring after these, what, 3 years?
Yeah, yeah. So I hope you'll find this video helpful.
Yes, we will try to pack as much information as we can.
Okay, so I guess starting off with kind of some expectations that we had of high school versus kind of the reality, like you said in the intro. Social media has framed a lot of my expectations, and I think you would say the same, I'm assuming. So one main thing about like trends I've noticed in the movies I've seen depicting high schoolers is typically the social cliques that were present. And I know that in our school, everyone off. Okay. I know that in our school we do have an arts program, IB program, and the mainstream program. And to clarify, we are both in the IB program, but the cliques aren't really as prominent, and it's really okay to switch between them. So it's not as like emphasized as it is in social. I was gonna say social media, but I mean like, as in movies. But I want to talk about how whenever I watch a movie or a show about high schoolers, it's always really older actors playing, right? Riverdale is a really good honorable mention for this because it had these adults playing high school kids. So a lot of tweens, I would say, watch that show before they go to high school, and I was one of those tweens, and
Me
you are one of those
too.
tweens. So that makes for a really inaccurate portrayal of what high schools look like. I think I found myself comparing myself in high school to what they look like, and it was really like not harmful, but it wasn't a good idea to have because it's not fair of yourself to expect to look like those adults, like without acne, without any flaws or imperfections. Plus, like those are usually edited out, so you shouldn't be comparing to all those actors.
Especially because those actors are like, 25 to 30, right? They're not even close to being a teenager. So yeah, I think it's definitely good to just stray away from thinking that. And don't worry about it if you think you look too young to be in high school or anything like that compared to anything you're seeing on the TV, because usually it's not accurate at all. So it's not really something that you should focus on. Don't worry.
Yeah. And then I guess we can I don't really know how to transition to the next thing I want to talk about, but when I watched a lot of movies, specifically the one that's coming to mind is The Perks of Being a Wallflower, I saw that they had really close relationships with their teacher. Like in the movie, the English teacher was giving the student these literature recommendations, and then he gave him a lot of books to borrow over the school year, and then on Christmas, I think he gave him like a special edition of a book, a very old version of it. And so I thought that was what it was going to look like when I came in high school. But it's okay to not have that because I don't think that's very normal. Outside of clubs, if they're supervising, you won't really be contacting your teacher much. So like you shouldn't be expecting that kind of closeness. It's always good to have like a good relationship with your teachers though.
I think it just requires a lot of effort on your part, and if the teacher obviously wants to do that, like to be your mentor or whatever of the
Reciprocate.
sort, yeah, in a very professional way, of course. Yeah, I need to see the Perks of Being a Wallflower. I've not seen it before, but yeah, I remember seeing a lot of shows where the main character, right, the teacher just lets them stay inside from recess or something, and they eat lunch together, which is like very, very nice, very wholesome, but. It's not like something that happens very casually, right? If you want that good relationship, you have to really work for it and engage with your teacher. It's not something that just happens.
Yeah, I feel like that is a good thing to do though, because I feel like you can get so much insight from them often, and you can just get a lot of life experiences and knowledge and wisdom, I guess you would say. So that is a good point to mention.
I think also, I guess, adding on to this with teachers, right? They have a very big class. Usually they have a lot of other courses they're teaching. It's not like elementary school where sometimes they're your only teacher. They have a lot of other students, so it's okay if maybe they aren't specifically dedicated to you. Like they have a lot of going on, right? So like I said, you have to really pursue that good relationship if you want it, and just be understanding that they have a lot of other students in mind. Sometimes they're teaching like 60 other kids or 90 other kids in some case. So it is really hard to keep track of that.
Yeah, and their teaching is just a job. I had to remind myself a lot about that. Like, you have to understand that it's only like it's not a very big part of their lives. They might have other part-time jobs on the side. So, like, you really shouldn't be expecting too much because it's already a lot of stress upon them to like be going to school every day, I guess, just like you. So, yeah, you shouldn't be expecting too much from them just because it's not really fair to put that much weight on it as well. And I think I can speak for a lot of people when I say that Gilmore Girls was a very like defining show for my expectations of high school because Rory was like an academic icon, right? So I expected to like portray myself after her, have a lot of the same qualities and characteristics. And in her Chilton era, which is like my favorite part of her, I think that she like it portrayed her working really hard along with Paris to compete for the newspaper club, right? And it was a very competitive cutthroat club just to be a member of. But I feel like at least in our school, I feel like in many other schools as well, it's just about the type of people who are interested in it, but the clubs aren't as cutthroat, so you shouldn't worry too much. You should join as many clubs as you want, and you shouldn't try to narrow yourself to any. Because I feel like that just closes off some doors. So don't be afraid to try for as many as you want, especially in grade 9, because that's the year to really experience a lot. Don't be afraid of older kids in clubs. I'm sure if you stay in the club, there'll be a lot of growth for opportunity. I said that in the opposite way. There'll be a lot of room for opportunity and growth. So you could like even end up being the president if you stay for a few consecutive years.
I think also, yes, if you are going to join the executive team of a club, yes, you do have to file out an application. But if you're coming to be a general member, or like right if you're in grade 9, you're just starting, you just want to see what the club is like, you don't have to fill out anything. You can just come to the meetings or fill out a general information form or whatever they require. You definitely don't have to. It's not competitive to just learn about the club or to be a general member. That's not a thing.
Yeah, unless for some very specific schools, I think. Maybe it's
Yeah.
different in private schools or some of the top academic schools.
And even with, I think, executive, as long as you show that you're enthusiastic and you're dedicated, I don't want to say you for sure will get in, but you'll definitely be considered.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess all I'm trying to say is don't be afraid to try out for clubs, like Permita said. And if you're just starting out, feel free to join as many as you want and see which one really resonates with you and which ones you don't. And it's okay if that changes throughout the years. It's not that serious, I promise.
Yeah, like I joined, I think, 5 clubs when I was in grade 9. One of them was book club, and then another was business club. I think there was another one, and then like HOSA for medicine. And then there were like so many that I wanted to join. So I really did try to narrow it down after a while. And I think that's important. But in the beginning, it's okay to have a lot, as many as you want.
Yeah, there were a lot of clubs in grade 9 that I joined that I didn't really like, but I liked the newspaper club in grade 10 and then like 11 and 12. So it just really depends on your interests, and that will vary.
Yeah. And if you think, I feel like this is a common misconception, but if you think that joining like a lot of typical academic clubs is good for your resume or like your high school resume, in some cases it is, but it's really about if you think it's something you'll want to go into or like it's something you're interested in. So like I like debate, not just because of the portrayal of it in I guess in applying to university, but I actually genuinely liked it. And that really shows in the kind of effort and commitment you put into it. So it's important to not like focus on the quantity or what kind of clubs you're joining. It's okay to join like more niche clubs or, yeah.
Yeah, don't join a club that you hate doing just because you think it might be better. Like, if you generally don't like being in this club and you don't like the effort or the work, that's okay. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah, it's all really about what kind of work you want to put in. And if you don't enjoy being in that club, it's going to show after a while. So just don't put yourself in that position where it makes you miserable just going to the club. And now that we've kind of talked a lot about our misconceptions and misnomers on television, I think we can go about what it's really like in our high school experience. So narrowing it down to, for example, our socials. And that includes a lot of different aspects. But yeah, I think we can just get into that.
I think when you're joining high school, when you're joining with people from your grade 8 school, like your friend group or your friends or whoever, I think that it's good. It's great that you have someone when you're going into it, but it is okay if you guys may not be as close anymore or you guys seem to drift. That's okay. That's part of life. And it's okay because you guys are, it's high school's all about learning new things about yourself, right? And sometimes that means you have to let go of things and they might come back, right? It's just about being okay with that change and that relationship and figuring out what you want to do from there.
Yeah, I think similar to Santa, I also think that it's really important to not, like, to just stay in a friend group, for example, if you think that you're supposed to throughout all of high school. If you're genuinely not happy, you should just leave. And it's totally okay to do that because you can find a different group of friends over time that you'll really enjoy being a part of. And I think that's really important because having a good friend group is important for getting through high school, I guess. Mm-hmm. Because it's really hard to balance academics versus socials. But when you're in a friend group you don't enjoy being in, then that will really just make it more difficult on yourself. So don't spend time in a situation you don't want to be in.
Yeah, like if you're entering high school and you're with a group of people and you don't think it's working out, it's okay to leave. I think if you're entering and you don't know anyone, which was I think both of our cases, because our home schools were not the one we went to, we didn't really know anyone. I knew people from past school because I moved around a lot, but I didn't really have anyone close that I came to high school with.
Yeah, and I didn't know anyone because I was switching between different school districts. So I just, I guess I tried to put a lot of effort into making friends at the beginning. And some of those friends changed. Some of them stayed the same. But I think it's honestly pretty enlightening to see the different friend groups. I found that I had a lot of different experiences in them. And it really shows. For example, if you're like in a friend group where you feel left out or you don't want to be a part of, then when you get to like a different friend group and like you feel like you're fully integrated into it, then that's a really great experience to see. So that's a good thing to be a part of.
I think the most crucial part socially is that first day or first week, though, that first bit of first entering high school, because even if you don't stay friends or stay good friends long term with the people that you meet, it's just good to have a group to be with or someone to be with during those early days when you don't know your way around, you don't really know anyone else. It's just good to have someone. So I think I still am. I'm pretty shy and pretty reserved and quiet. But during that beginning of high school, I forced myself to go talk to people and to go try and make friends with people who I thought might have similar interests with me, right? You just have to go ahead and take that leap, even if it is really scary.
Yeah, I think you need to get out of the mindset that if you try talking to someone, then they're either going to like find you embarrassing or something. Like, just stop caring about that. Chances are, after one interaction, they'll probably forget, even if they thought anything negative about you in the first place. So just don't be afraid. If you see someone that you think is pretty cool or interesting and you have some of the same interests, then like Selena said, take the leap. It's perfectly fine. You don't have to be embarrassed to do anything.
I just realized that the saying might be take the jump. I actually don't know. It's one of those.
I like take the leap more.
Okay.
Like a frog hopping over, you know?
Okay. I like that. Okay then.
Yeah.
I think also, like, everyone is just as scared as you coming in. Even if they might have a group of friends or they don't, or they may seem really confident or they don't. Like, everyone is nervous. So if you are going to talk to people and you think they're going to tell, like, oh, she's so scared, like you said, like judging you. No, like everyone is scared, even a little bit. So don't think about that at all. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and there's probably some people who are in similar situations as you. They don't have any other friends. Like, there's many different kinds of people there. So don't feel afraid to reach out to any of them as well.
I remember on like the very first, I think the first minute, because we were all for our first day of high school entirely, we were meeting on the field outside with our first period classes and going inside. I remember one girl in my class started talking to me, and I was trying my best to be very friendly and very nice. And then I ended up talking to her and another girl, and that was kind of how I built a very initial group of friends and we in that class. And that helped me find a group to sit with at lunch, right? So it's just that kind of thing. Even if you don't stay friends long term, it's good to have a community of people.
That's nice. I don't know why, but I feel like in every situation I'm in socially, no, even if the other person is not talking to anyone else, they'll never be the first one to talk to me. Aww. I always have to make the effort, like, hi, what's your name? I don't know if it's like the energy I bring in or something, like if I seem cast off or reserved, but no one ever approaches me first. And I found even in grade 9, I had to talk to everyone first.
No, in my case, the girl who spoke to me first, she was a very extroverted girl, and she kind of reeled in the rest of us, okay? It's not you. I would not. And I don't think I have any situation. So were you the extroverted girl in that situation? Like, well, you kind of had to be?
I tried to force myself to be more extroverted.
Yeah.
I feel like in grade 9, I tried to be. But I think that really, like, ended up working, making me even more introverted. Like, I got even more anxious because of that. Mm. I feel like over the years, I've kind of become more okay and comfortable with talking to other people. I think it's just because I've gotten out of the mindset where I'm always worried about, like, oh, they're gonna think I'm really embarrassing for trying to talk to them, or desperate, you know? So you need to stop thinking that. It's no one will really care.
In terms, and like kind of what you said, right? But you'll probably not stay best friends with the people you first become best friends with in grade 9 that you will in grade 12. And that's okay. People change and people grow. And it's okay if you don't stay in those same friendship groups throughout the year or throughout the course of high school. That's very natural.
Yeah. You shouldn't try to like take the reins of that. If it's meant to be, it is. But if it's not, then chances are you'll just find somebody else. And that's perfectly okay.
I think I sometimes had the expectation that, like, I found these people. Like, it's so wrong of me to even consider. But if, like you said, like we were talking about earlier, right? If you think that this group is not really working for you, or that you think people are just naturally drifting apart, that's okay. You'll find other people.
I think also on this note, in high school, there's just all kinds of different people you're going to meet with different experiences and different interests. And there's just some people who it's better to not be affiliated with, like who will maybe try to press you into different things that you don't want to do. So if you already kind of notice that, then you shouldn't try to like really take it to the next level and, you know, become friends with them. I'm talking more about the people who, for example, you see doing drugs on school property. If you see that, then it's probably better to just not, you know, talk to them.
I think it's like when you're first coming in, and older kids want to take you under their wing, that's great. But if you notice that they're doing kind of shady stuff, after just staying away and just trying to find people in your own age group and that people that you think are more in your line of what you're doing.
Yeah, because like if you do get into that kind of situation, it can be really uncomfortable and awkward and maybe even difficult to leave. So it's really better to just get yourself out of that rabbit hole before you enter.
And if socially you are a bit alone, that's okay too. I think like there is a stereotype of like, oh, they're eating in the washroom because they have no one else. That's for our school at least, that's not true. And I know because I tried it once.
You tried eating in the washroom?
Okay, no. Okay, this was back in the beginning of grade 9. And I was, the lunch group I sat with was with this group that mostly my more extroverted friend that I had met had kind of put together. And I remember one time they were all in a certain program and I wasn't, and they were all going to do something. And I knew it would be really awkward if I was there. So I was just like, it's okay. I'll just go find other friends. I didn't have any other friends to sit with. And I was too shy to ask the acquaintances that I did know. So I was like, oh, you know, maybe this is time to fulfill the high school prophecy of sitting in the washroom. So like I go in the washroom, but there's a bunch of girls just sitting on the floor in the washroom, like talking. And then I was like, oh, I really can't. So I just kind of awkwardly stood there, and then I turned around and I left. And that was the end of it. But like, okay, the point of the story is, it's like, you're not gonna eat the lunch in the washroom, okay? That's not gonna happen, at least only because there's already so many people in there. I think in our school, right? There's the cafeteria, there's the hallways, there's, like, do not eat in the washroom. You don't have to do that to yourself. It's okay.
Yeah. I feel like going off of your story, which I think is kind of funny, no offense.
No, it's okay.
I also had a really similar experience where my friends were all involved in one particular thing, but I wasn't. So I also literally just said, oh, it's okay, I'm just going to, like, go out and do my own thing. And I really didn't have anything to do, so I started just walking around the school by myself. And I feel like that's a little better than eating the washroom alone, because it's just, like, taking a walk. That's perfectly fine. Also, if you want to, like, read in a corner under the shade of a tree or on a bench, that's also a lot more comforting, I guess, than eating the washroom. So please don't do that to yourself.
During lunchtime, you're allowed to leave school grounds. So you can genuinely just...
It might depend on the school,
Might depend on the school.
Yeah.
But you're allowed to at least go outside, I think. You should check. But that's usually allowed in our experience. So yeah, you don't have to eat in the washroom. Don't do that to yourself. Would not recommend. Very awkward.
Yeah, there's a bunch of other things you can do. Like, if you want, you can do homework. You can read.
You can go on your
play
phone.
Games on your phone.
Yeah, no one cares.
You can watch Netflix
if your school didn't ban it.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah.
Ours
or Disney Plus. Our school did not ban it. Oh my god, this is kind of funny, but in one of those days where I was like off on my own, I was just watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
And here we watch again now, right?
So it's yeah.
Like full circle moment.
Yeah, exactly.
I think in talking about phone use, right? Phone use is a lot more, it does still vary with the school, but it's a lot more, there's a lot more leeway than there was in elementary school or in middle school, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Although I did hear about phones starting to get like completely banned from school property.
I've heard that.
I don't know if they're enforcing it. Our school is certainly not yet. But
maybe some schools, but at least like obviously during class, right? If the teacher is teaching, don't go on your phone. Yeah, but during lunch, I think you should be allowed to go on your phone. There's no lesson to distract you from. Actually, I don't know. And I guess in talking about socials more, sometimes you'll make friends with people and it doesn't work out, and that sometimes there's drama or sometimes things get in the way. And that's okay. I think if you think the relationship is worth salvaging, obviously go ahead. If you think it's ran its course, that's fine. That's a part of life.
Yeah. And so, like, just don't have that disappointment expectation. But also, if it happens, don't spend too much time caught over it, because it's just better to move on and find a different friend group or just be in a better situation you're comfortable in.
In high school, if you're not in like a very small group or program or anything like that, you're in your classes, you're meeting like new people all the time. So I think that in many cases, it's through that journey of meeting all these new people and building all these new relationships that you find a group of friends who truly have your interests and your beliefs and your thoughts or like whatever. Like you might have more things in common with them. Through that discovery, right? So it's okay if things change, and it's okay if you don't end up being friends with people who you thought you might be able to befriend.
Yeah, and I feel like it's also important to have friends from different groups, because they just give you these different insights, and it's better to have that. So I find that, for example, when we were allowed to have electives in grade 9 and 10.
For IB.
Yeah. We're not allowed now for grade 11 and 12, but in those years, I met a lot of different people, and like that was a lot more interesting than just like a very narrowed down group of people. And also in school clubs, it's fun and interesting seeing new people. So I like having that experience. And that also goes into my philosophy of joining many clubs, like as many as you want, because you'll probably find a lot of people of similar interests. So you can spend a lot of time talking about like a lot of random things.
And it's, at least in my case, I feel like it's always people that I don't expect that I become the most closest friends with. Because you and I, we literally thought the other person didn't like us for the longest time. And then we are now, I think, good friends today, right? So
That's so true. Like,
Yeah.
no offense, but if you told me in grade 9 that we would be like really close friends, I would never have believed it.
I thought you hated me so much. I did not enjoy. Okay, I mean, it's like no offense, but I did not enjoy being in conversations with you because I thought I was forcing you to talk to me and you didn't want to talk to me at all.
I felt that way as well. I felt like you didn't want me there and I just wanted to like leave. I'm glad we're out of the mindset now. It's actually, I keep forgetting about how we started off.
There are so many awkward conversations that I remember, and it was all along the lines of, oh, how did you find this math test? Oh, it was good. And then we just awkwardly talked to the other mutual friends in the group.
I remember my one, like, my one, my one attempt at socializing with you was trying to point out how many different email notifications you had. Like, oh, Sandy, you had like 2,000 email notifications. Like, you should probably clear some of those up. And then you were like, oh, yeah.
I'm so sorry.
I shouldn't try to like talk to her again.
No, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry if I sounded dry. I didn't mean it.
No, I think it's just like miscommunication. So you should also, I feel like that's also an important note. Don't, if someone seems dry, maybe they're not. Just don't go off of solely those miscommunications. Because you could end up finding your very close friend, you know? Who knows?
Yeah.
I think that's enough for socials. We've pretty much covered everything.
Okay, going into academics.
The very, very nitty-gritty thing, you know? The one we all have to get into, but we kind of don't want to.
Our advice, like we said earlier, is very much from academic AP IB standpoint. And of course, if you're not in those programs, you're this is also for you. But just keep in mind, we're coming in with that experience and that point of view.
I can see, but just like, I don't know.
How do you like even talk about the? I feel like that's very like depend. It depends. Yeah. Because I don't think it's that competitive and mainstream. It depends on the school as well.
I think that depending on your program and your school, there is going to be varying levels of competitiveness. Like if you're in an academic class versus a different class, obviously that would be different levels of competitiveness. But I feel like a little bit of competitiveness is good for, keeping you working hard. But I have heard stories, I don't know if this is true, about another school that is very competitive near ours and how people like backstab each other to get good marks, which is insane. But those are all like stories. Okay, the point is that competitiveness does vary, but definitely don't lower yourself to people's levels and do any of that stuff. It's never that bad.
Yeah, it's definitely not worth losing friends over in the process because at that point then you're just being a bad person. So don't get yourself to that point, okay? If you want to get good grades then you have to like work hard for it. Don't do all those extra other things that you may see on television.
I think it's better to work as a community. Like in IB, we have a lot of group chats for our classrooms where we discuss problems and stuff related to our studies. I think that's better than like sabotaging people or anything like that.
Yeah, I feel like on that note, something that really helps is probably just a lot of collaborative working on slideshows. For example, you can share slideshows with your friends and take notes together. It doesn't have to be like an alone process. You can share notes, share tips, because sometimes you might miss something. And so it's good to have these shared Google Docs and just have everyone filling in what they know. And it's also good to have these like study meetings. I know we used to have these a few times, right? Because and it kind of helped me a lot actually, helped me stay on topic. We were doing our English essays, I think.
We made like fake English questions and we would send each other English poems and then we would have to do the prompt. I think that really helped me as well too.
Yeah, we should continue with that.
I agree.
Yeah. But anyways, I feel like all these extra things, also trying to make studying more fun and doing it with your friends, but not distracting each other, obviously, is a really good way to do it. So instead of focusing on the competitive aspect and try to one up each other, you should just work together, and that helps you get the best place as possible.
In terms of balancing workload, which I think is definitely a lot of concern, a lot of people have concerns about going into high school. I did. It's definitely you need to put the work into it. Like, I think if you're coming straight from grade 8 into grade 9 and you didn't have to put that much effort to still get good grades and still balance your schoolwork and your extracurriculars or your social life, that it is a bit of a difficult transition because your teachers may be mindful of work from other courses, but they're not going to necessarily change assignments or projects or stuff like that just because you might have difficult stuff from another course, right? So it's more about balancing all those different workloads and making sure you're not falling behind.
Yeah, and a part of balancing is also kind of prioritizing, because sometimes maybe some projects are like very far away and you want to procrastinate with them, which I've tried to do once, but that does not work. You should just focus on what is most immediate and also what's most important. So just figure out your priorities and try to balance based off that. And maybe try making a schedule if that helps. I know it's not the method for everyone, but I know that when I have like a schedule of things to do, it kind of helps.
Same. Like I have what is it? Like a checklist?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's good to make sure you have all of that in order. And it's a lot easier to figure out that way.
Yeah. You want to have a whiteboard for exams, don't you, Santa?
Yes. I have to erase the things because it stresses me out. It's like 2 days until exams and that's long gone. I think also in terms of procrastination, like you said, I think we're both a bit guilty of this. But waiting until there's a couple few days to do something when you had weeks or even months in some cases, it's not good. I know it sounds kind of fun to do like all-nighters or stuff like that. No, don't do that to yourself.
I know, exactly. Like, if you have all the time, it's definitely going to show in your quality work, because like you can tell the difference between something that was made one day before the due date versus something that you spent like multiple days on, depending on how far away the due date was originally, of course, but it really does show. So if you want to be serious about your work, don't leave it all to the last minute. And I think some people may get into this habit early on, so that's okay, but since you still have the time, before you get into like grade 11 and 12, I think you need to change that, because grades 9 and 10, those set up your learning skills and habits. So I feel like in those years, you should try experimenting with different methods and then settle on a few. Because there is a large jump between grade 10 to 11. So by 11, you'll be having a lot more work coming in, and you really can't get by if you're just procrastinating all the time.
I think that applies to tests or quizzes as well. If you know you're having a test in 3 weeks, don't wait until 3 days to start studying, right? If you just start studying little by little, day by day, and then you build up to that, it's a lot better than just waiting until the night before to start cramming in.
I feel like in my experience, most courses, if you just literally just listen to what the teacher is saying, then and note it down and make notes, of course, then you'll probably do really well on the test. Apart from math, which is like a little unpredictable sometimes, you have to do a lot more extra problem solving and creative thinking like for that. But for most courses, like history, for example, everything that's going to be on the test is what the teacher is saying. There's not going to be anything unpredictable. So don't stress too much about like finding other tests. Apart from math, I feel like that's a different subject and different needs, but just listen to what the teacher is saying, because I think that's the most helpful thing you can do.
And something that I think is also to keep in mind when you're doing units, even if the unit is not fully over, you can still start preparing for the test. Like if your teacher has one lesson of the unit left to teach before the test, you can still start reviewing from the beginning of the unit and go from there. Like you don't have to necessarily wait until they're completely done teaching if you really want to get ahead, only in that case. So I know in our case, sometimes we would have tests like almost directly right after we finish the unit, right? Or I think that's a very common case. So sometimes it's good to start early, even before they're done teaching the unit entirely.
And also similarly, I think when you get through a unit, then you shouldn't completely forget about that, because you're going to have a final exam at the end. So it's really important to just not forget that kind of information and maybe try to go over it once a week. So it's not all gone and you don't have to restudy everything, because I feel like all your work just goes down the drain if you let it go to waste.
This is kind of what we talked about earlier about like competitiveness, but I think it's really good to have a good relationship with your classmates. Like again, you guys are kind of working together to get a good mark. And I know that it's not always everyone. Some people are not really interested, but I think it's good if you find people in your class who have similar goals in that class as you do, to like we did, right? Like we helped each other with studying or to exchange notes or to quiz each other. Like, you are free to do all of that. And I think that's really helpful in preparing.
Yeah, similar to you. I feel like the best thing to do, I think this will surprise you sometimes, is just to ask for your classmates' help if you need it. And I'm sure that a lot of them will also have a lot of great resources to lend to you. So it's really great to participate in that, share all those resources you have, and work together to achieve better marks, you know, instead of just working against each other once again.
You can always ask your teacher for extra resources. They'll usually have it handy, or they'll know where to direct you.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I guess to kind of move on, when you start in high school, you're going to be interested in a lot of things, I'm sure, unless you already know what you want to go into early on.
Which is great. Love that for you.
Yeah. But even if you do have that kind of mindset and you want to change it to something else, it's okay. So don't feel like menaced by that and threatened that you will, like, that everything's going to go down the drain just because you decided to change your academic interests. You're still in grade 9. You have time. Yeah. So like I was saying, I think it's good to experiment, but eventually by grades 11 to 12, you should have an idea of what you want to go into, because university is kind of soon approaching. And so you should try to narrow down your interests, well, at least maybe 2 to 3 areas at most.
I mean, that's why grade 9 and grade 10 are so good for exploring what you want to do, because you have electives and you can kind of figure out what you want to do in that sense, while also making sure you're having fun in high school. So yeah, I think as a grade 9, even if you know or don't know, come with a very open mind and feel free to talk to your classmates and ask what they want to do. That's helped me a lot in figuring out what I do or don't want to do.
Yeah. And I think on that note, since we are both in IB, we do have to take like these specific required courses, right? But with other programs like AP, for example, you can choose which courses you want to take in advanced placement. And so the other ones, if you're not very strong in those areas, then you can choose not to take them as AP, right? But since we are an IB, like, there's a set curriculum that we can't really change or control. And like I mentioned before, we can't even choose our electives until grade, 9 and 10 is that. Those are the only electives we have. So I think if you were to think about getting into these kind of programs because you think those are good for university, you should do a lot of research on them. But from our experience, IB is really good if you're going international, because a lot of schools do accept your IB scores and they do take that into account, right? But if you're planning to stay in the local area, it's not as helpful, or you'll just find that maybe some of the subjects you're taking, you're not really strong as much in that area, but you're going to still have to take them. And in some schools, you don't even get a choice over what higher level courses you're going to take, right? So for us, it was decided that it was going to be history, chemistry, and English. And maybe if you're someone who, for example, is not really strong in chemistry, that's not great for you, and your school doesn't have any other options. So I feel like you need to take that into consideration when applying to programs as someone in middle school going to high school. But from this experience, if you do want to go international, and if you think that you want a really good curriculum that is kind of deemed acceptable everywhere, because IB is standard, like many countries recognize it, and so you have that kind of shared knowledge, it's not going to really differ from the other countries, you know? So if you go internationally, then all of that same knowledge can still be taken into account. And I think that's good if that's your plan. But if not, if you want to go into a program, I think AP would be better suited for you.
I agree. I think if you specifically know what you want to do, and you know what kind of courses entail that, AP is probably better. But if you know what you want to do requires most of the IB required courses, or if you just think that IB is better suited for you academic wise, because you do have a lot more other things besides the academics portion, like you do have essays and IAs, which are like papers that you write, if you want more of that, then IB is more your style. Whereas with AP, it's just more about advanced knowledge that might help you in university. It really depends. I feel like this is just a brief overview, but there's obviously a lot more differences and a lot more nuances in that area.
And also, if you don't want to apply to a program at all, that's also fine. It's just really depending on your academic interests, I think. So don't feel pressure to go into that, because it's not an end all or be all. It's not going to, at the end of the day, play a huge role in university. And I'm going to emphasize a huge role because sometimes it like does vary, but just know how, like, just know how much you want to put in.
This is very casual speak. We're not like professionals on the differences, but I think this is just a good overview.
Yeah. So, and we do have like 3 years of IB, so I feel like we can speak about that. But in IB, I want to mention that there is also pre-IB in grades 9 to 10 and 11 to 12. And we should mention that I feel like there's a lot of people who drop out in between those years, because in 9 and 10, you're starting to see, like, you're starting to get a grasp of what it's really like, right? So you're going to see the workload maybe being a little higher than mainstream, and you're going to be seeing, like, a lot of expectations upon you to complete everything by the deadline. I feel like you should use that time to see if the program is right for you. And it is okay to drop out, because if it's not working for you, then it's also ultimately going to be really harmful. You know, if it's affecting your grades in a normal way, for IB, we do have these conversions. So it's really based on how everyone scores in the exams, but like, don't rely on those conversions too much, because if it's really like negatively impacting your score, they can't do too much to fix it.
I think also, and this is not just for IB, like any program, if you feel like it's not the best fit for you and you want to drop out, don't feel like you can't do it because it's shameful or because of this or because of that. If you genuinely think it doesn't work for you, it's okay to say that and to leave. I think it is sometimes difficult because you'll have made friends in the program, but you can still maintain those friendships outside of it, and you will get to make new friends in wherever you choose to go. I think that's better than being miserable in this program for as long as you will stay in it.
Yeah. And similarly, I want to talk about how whenever you like, if you were to face an academic setback, that if you're someone who really takes this seriously and to heart, then that would be a really disappointing moment for you, right? And you might feel really challenged by it and maybe even questioning your self-worth. And I feel like I've often found myself doing that, right? So I feel like you need to you also need to get out of that mindset where one test is defining your university that you're going to. In the long run, especially if you're like in grade 9, 10, or even 11, those tests won't matter as much. So it's just one single test, and don't use that as a sign to like stop studying or anything.
The transition from grade 8 to grade 9 is difficult. So I think especially in the beginning, you might struggle because of the course load, the workload and the courses. So if you do end up having a mark that is lower than what you were used to getting in elementary, or I mean in grade 8, that's okay. You can learn from your mistakes, and you can just work with that and just adapt your studying to, of course, this new school. I think sometimes if you were really smart in elementary, like you got really good grades in elementary and you didn't have to work hard to get them, you might not know how to study, or you might realize that, oh, I'm not really naturally adapted to these certain things like math or science or English. You might just have to work a bit harder, and that's okay, because everyone has different skills. So I feel like it's good not to compare yourself necessarily, like, oh, this person, they always get 100s in English, because people are at different paces academically. So I feel like it's good not to compare and just remember that everyone has their own strengths, and you might just have to work harder, but you might find things easier than other people might, right? So it's just remembering that.
Yeah, so definitely don't compare yourselves to others a lot. That can be like really harmful to your own self-worth.
I think we do that. We did that along the path, but I think we've run a bit better now.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm really trying to emphasize this. You should not do that, because it doesn't help you in any way. It just really it harms you more and more, you know?
It demotivates you.
Yeah, like it takes the life out of you at some point. So you need to learn to only focus on yourself. And that way it's kind of more easier for you to clear your mind, focus on your own goals instead of thinking about what this person is doing. You know, that's taking up too much time. And if it is taking up too much time, that's a sign that you're comparing yourself too much. So obviously it's good to know and compare like different experiences, get some help from your friends, but don't do it where you're comparing everything.
And if you get a mark that you're not happy with, you can always ask your teacher how they marked it. Because sometimes, you know, if they make a mistake in marking, they'll fix it. And if they explain to you what went wrong, you can learn. And you can learn not to make that mistake in the future. So I think it's just really good to ask for that feedback if you don't understand how you got the mark that you did.
Yeah. And I guess since we did talk a lot about failures and disappointments and trying to overcome them, we can get into how to properly study for these kind of things, and also just resources in general for if you want to have a little help navigating high school life and maybe stay better motivated. So I think that for me, something that really helped was YouTube, because it was either seeing other YouTubers that were like in a high school setting or even a university setting, and they were studying really hard, and that motivated me to kind of like stay on my track and stay focused on my goals, because I saw how much it was helping them. So I think two YouTube channels that helped me a lot with that were Jack Edwards and Steph Boher. I don't know how to say her last name, but just seeing them work so hard and like care so much, have a genuine passion about books, that helped me, you know.
Jack and Steph, even though they're I remember Jack, he used to be like a study tuber. I believe he's not that anymore, but in his early days he was a study tuber. But yeah, even though their content isn't really directly about school entirely, I think they're very motivating to see, because they're both students who have gotten very far in their careers in many ways.
Yeah, exactly. So it's sometimes it's really great to see other people going out there and doing so much work, putting a lot of effort. But also, don't compare yourself, you know? Don't do it at a harmful extent to where you're like, oh, that YouTuber is doing so much work and they're doing so many extracurriculars, they're getting such good grades, I can't ever do that. So if you're finding that is happening, just maybe try to take some time off. But I mentioned these YouTube channels because they just helped me, I guess, find more interest academically.
I think also there's specific websites that might help you academically. For IB, there's Revision Village. But even if you're in AP, I think Revision Village still has a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah. We should mention it is paid.
Yeah.
There's, I think for the first unit of every subject, it is free. But apart from that, they have like really helpful videos. I bought the math package. So I used it for math and it did help me a lot. And it has like a lot of different sets of questions, past exams, and these videos that really help with every single question, basically. And it explains all the contents. There's also these revision ladders that help you with your like learning. For example, it starts off easier and then medium and then harder. And these like practice tests at the end. So it's really nice to see those. They also have like these predicted exams, which our teachers actually shared with us. So it was great that they were able to do that. And yeah.
I think in terms of YouTube, Organic Chemistry Tutor, he's so good for math, both math and chemistry. If you have a question about anything in math or chemistry, he will have a video about it, and his answers are very straightforward. Oh, by the way, we'll link all these YouTubers in the bio.
Yeah. And also, this is a very common one, but Khan Academy, like both the online courses and also the YouTube channel, it's very helpful. I find that like I'm usually finding myself on it, and it has really great resources for IB and AP. Like it has very specific ones too.
For biology, the Amoeba Sisters are really good because they explain a lot of these sometimes hard to grasp concepts in a very straightforward and very fun way. So I think those are really good if you're focusing more into science and biology.
For English, since we are taking IB English, I took a lot of I watched a lot of videos from the IB English guys, and they were really helpful. I think even if you're not taking IB English, it's just teaching you how to deconstruct some works of fiction or nonfiction, and it's great for I feel like English is something that everyone can learn, you know, it's a skill, so it doesn't matter if it's IB English. I think anyone can really learn a lot from them.
For history, this is much more informal, but there's a lot of great YouTube channels out there who do fun recaps of historical events. So if you're like, oh, this historical event I'm learning about is so boring, or this is so not interesting, you can look at those videos, and they do explain it in a lot, sometimes in a bit more of an engaging way or in a much more creative way than you might learn in school, and that might help you understand it better, right? So it's just all about finding those unique resources that help you.
For French, this is kind of uncommon, but the main way that I learn it is kind of actually listening to Angèle songs, because I found that I really loved all her tracks and lyrics, and so I got really interested in that. So I recommend like finding some music that you like and how it sounds, and then looking at the lyrics later on. And so we can also link some other helpful channels for this, but yeah.
For Spanish, I think. I think also with Spanish, listening to music, for example.
I'm gonna say it.
Seriously.
Say it.
I can't say it. Okay. Stop laughing at me.
Okay. For Spanish, in the same way with music. For Spanish, in the same way with music, I listen to Bad Bunny a lot, even though I don't even take Spanish classes. But I have picked up like a couple Spanish phrases. So like if I was actually taking a Spanish class in school, I think that actually would be helpful for me and other Spanish artists. But yeah, I think it's a really fun way to just keep that language in mind and learn phrases that you might not have learned in school.
Also, when I was at my peak language learning phase, I downloaded this extension on my laptop that let me basically take any Netflix show or movie that I was watching and then translate the English words into the language that I selected.
Wait, the subtitles or the audio?
The audio, basically. So it wasn't just the subtitles. It was actually something that showed the English words on screen and the other language simultaneously. So you could compare. And then you could select on the words and then it would stop and it would show you what it means.
Well, that's a really good
extension. Yeah, so I used that for Spanish, actually, while I was watching a few different shows. And I found that really helpful. So I will find the name of the extension. We'll also link it down below, but I think that's a really helpful tool. In terms of like free resources, because I know a lot of language resources are paid and either tutoring or programs, but Duolingo is a good one if you're looking to learn the basics. But I would say if you want to know how to actually converse in the language, it's not as great.
If you're taking high school level, usually it's French or Spanish or with any other language. Just starting Duolingo is probably not the best because it's a lot simpler than what you will be learning in high school level French or Spanish or whatever you're learning.
Yeah.
So I think in that case, it's good as a support, but don't use it as your main form of language learning.
Yeah. So I feel like in that case, if you want to learn maybe how to actually like get by in a conversation with somebody who is French, then you would try to see more, like just look at French content, look at French YouTube channels, which I did a lot, and look at shows, maybe turn the audio into French, even though it might sound slightly off. But yeah, just try to do that. And if it's with a book or a series that you really like, that you've read or watched a few times, then seeing it in another language will, like, you can kind of piece everything together, you know? You can put the pieces together and then we'll figure out what the words are saying.
I think that's kind of it for resources. This was really fun to talk about this entire thing, you know, the expectations versus reality, the social aspect, the academic aspect. I think at times we did dramatize things, but like, no, the first year of high school, it will be a fun year. Don't stress it too much. I'm an overthinker and I think I just overstressed grade 9 so much. Don't do that.
And also just don't burn out the first year. Don't put your full effort into grade 9, because if you do that, you might find that like you're gonna be tired already.
Don't
by the
overwork
end.
Yourself.
Yeah, don't overwork yourself. Just but still focus. Just don't overwork yourself. Yeah. And you'll find that as you get by through the years, everything will come together. Like maybe you'll be in the same position as us where you can give advice to other high schoolers, because over time you'll just find the natural flow of things and you'll get by.
You'll learn a lot about yourself. I think that the person I was when I was in grade 9 is very different from who I am now. But I think that's a good thing. I think I've changed in good ways. And I think everyone does.
Yeah, so be open-minded.
Ideally.
Yeah, just be open-minded to the change.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope you guys found this video helpful.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you. Say thank you, Parmita, because the camera's going to turn off.
Thank you.